Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Delinquency, that's not something that belongs exclusively to one age of life. And even though we hear a lot about what we call juvenile delinquency, that's but one area of delinquency. There are delinquent young people, old people, males, females. It seems that all are subject to this spiritual malady of delinquency. But do you know that in nearly every instance of it, it follows a pattern? It's all very similar. It's not identical in each case, but there are certain similarities about falling away. Apostasy, falling away, something that some false teachers say can't be done, but the Bible shows that it can be. Becoming delinquent does not occur just quickly. It's not just at an unexpected moment, maybe in some rare cases that might be the case, but rather it's a gradual, slow process that finally culminates in delinquency. But how fortunate. Not all who go astray are content to remain in such a sinful state. They find their way back to their first love. I want to talk to you about a delinquent who made a marvelous comeback. Now, the way back, like the process of turning away, it doesn't usually occur in just a moment, although it can, but it usually follows an observable process. It goes according to a pattern. There is a series of steps that one takes that leads him from God, and there's a series of steps that he takes to come back home to God. Now, our lesson is going to focus on the familiar biblical account that reveals to us and should warn us of the process toward delinquency. But it's a story that also shows us the way back to God. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and 12, we read, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his living." Now, I want us to notice here the phrase, "give me." Notice the son telling the father, "give me." Notice his emphasis upon himself. Now, this story begins with one son of the two sons. He obviously wanted to escape parental authority. He wanted to go where he could live as he wanted to live without anybody restricting him. Well, he's like a lot of people today. They think that happiness is found in doing your own thing. No longer would he permit anyone to tell him what to do. He wouldn't follow anybody else's advice or direction. And mistakenly thinking himself capable of directing his own steps, he wanted to launch out on his own. But he wanted to launch out before he was really prepared to launch out on his own. He obviously was not mature enough to launch out on his own. Now, it's obvious that this son suffered from self-will. His problem was selfishness. As I said, notice his demand, "give me." Now, he wanted what he thought was going to be coming to him, and he would have received it in time, but he wanted his now. He manifested an attitude that was possessive, grasping, and he didn't have much concern for anybody else that might be involved in this. He wanted prematurely that which would eventually have been his if he had just been willing to bide his time. And his responsibility to the father, and even his responsibility to his older brother, why, that completely escaped him. He didn't care for that. You see, he had his own plans. He sought his own ambitions. He concentrated entirely on himself, and he wanted to leave home. I think we can see that the path of delinquency in this boy's case was his selfishness. And dear friend, that is often the case when one is delinquent from God. He is selfish. He wants to do things his own way, not the way of the Father. Well, we continue to read in this account that Jesus taught. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Well, now here was the separation from the father. It was altogether his own decision. This was his own action. He simply did not wish to remain even in the same country as the rest of his kin. So he went into a strange land, a far country, some distance from his home. He was cutting his ties. He was going among people that were strangers to him. He was leaving those that loved him. He was abandoning the stabilizing influence of his heritage. And staying nearby would not satisfy his desire to simply exercise himself just as he wished. It would not be compatible with his selfishness. He couldn't demonstrate his own self-will. His desire for what we might call his personal freedom, it took him into environments for which he was simply not qualified to handle. And verse 13 reads, "And there wasted his substance with riotous living." Friend, focus your attention upon this word translated riotous. It means profligate. It means without any sense of principles. It was living that was lacking in moral standards. He didn't have any religious restraints. It was a shameful life. It was a wicked life. As a self-willed young man who was intent on his own satisfaction, removing himself from the potential restraints on his behavior that would come from people who knew him and from people who loved him, and now having his pocket full of money, but a head empty of good judgment, a head that was empty of moral principle, he entered into a riotous lifestyle. Oh, how many times we see this replayed, even in our own day. But what was the result of that kind of lifestyle? He had his money. He had his freedom. He was on his own. He was doing his own thing. And what happened? Jesus said, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land." He began to be in want. Now let me pause here in the reading. Heretofore he thought he had plenty. He wasted it. He spent it. And now he is needful. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. Well, this young man, he soon ran through all of his money, didn't he? Oh, he really lived it up. Without thinking of the need to resupply himself, he soon found himself totally without, and he was in need of some kind of income, and the lack of all of that hit him with full force. So he hired out. Now, his lack of ability and his lack of preparation for this kind of circumstance is seen in the kind of work that he was required to take. Now, this was a Jew, and to feed swine, well, that's just about as degrading to a Jew that could possibly occur. And why was that true? Well, that's because swine were considered unclean animals, at least to the Jew, anyway. And certainly they were ceremonially unclean. They could have nothing to do with the swine and still be acceptable. And he was not even able to earn enough to feed himself. Well, being hired out by this man and not having enough to eat, he ate what the swine ate. That's how low he had gotten. He lost his fair-weather friends that he might have had during his time of riotous living. He entered into a personal financial depression, but it was all brought on by his own mistakes and by his low living. He was a living example of the truth that Paul taught in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, this young man brought upon himself a low level, and he took himself into degradation. And the Bible says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, even though he was not making enough to supply himself, he was making an effort, but it wasn't enough. He would even desire to eat the food that the swine ate. He had descended the ladder about as low as he could go. Delinquency was his problem. And what a tragedy if that story had ended right there. You know, with many people, this is where the story of their life ends. They follow the pathway of apostasy, they sit to the lowest point, and they never rise again. They meet death, and from there they must face God in judgment. Their guilt, their shame, their disgraceful behavior, it accompanies them right on into eternity. And it's all because they have preferred to satisfy their own appetites of the flesh. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to go their own way. You see what selfishness does to people? You see what the person is determined to do his own way, regardless of authority above him. The worldly mind has finally seen what low living brings about. But fortunately, this young man's story does not end here. Now, like I say, it does end right there with a lot of people, and that's a tragedy. But even though he foolishly followed the way of delinquency, he makes a comeback. He returned to the high road. He recovered. He learned the high price of low living. He humbled himself, and he was ultimately exalted. And there was a process involved in his return, just as there was this selfish process in his delinquency and bringing himself to such a low level. Well, we want to have a lesson next time on how this young man returned, and we're going to see the real hero of this story. The real hero of this story is the father who received the son. Listen again for the continuation of this account of the delinquency who made a marvelous comeback. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.